This podcast is brought to you by Racing New South Wales, Sky Racing and Pride's Easy Feed.
A message for trainers of thoroughbred, standardbred and performance horses. Pride's Easy Feed would like you to know a little more about a new product called Energy Pack, a top-up feed designed to replace cracked or flaked corn in a horse's diet. Energy Pack comes in small cubes of extruded corn and full-fat soybean and is 6 times more digestible than raw corn. Energy Pack isn't a complete feed. You simply use it to top up your horse's normal ration. Energy Pack will help you to stay ahead in the war against acidosis. Energy Pack comes in 20-kilo bags and is a palatable concentrated source of energy. Speaking of acidosis, Pride's also recommends Easy Light, a great tasting electrolyte. Its glucose and fruit flavouring is just the ticket for those fussy eaters. For best results, feed Easy Light as part of your horse's balanced ration. Replace those lost salts and keep your horses on their water through the long hot summer. Pride's Easy Light and Pride's Energy Pack, a winning double from Pride's Easy Feed. Masters in the field of equine nutrition. When Karen Owen retired from her long-time role with the New South Wales Mounted Police in 2016, family and friends had little doubt she'd try her hand as a trainer of thoroughbreds. After all, she'd learned the ways of the thoroughbred during her 33 years with the Mounties and had ridden regular track work when husband Adrian hobby trained small teams at Rose Hill and Hawkesbury in the late 90s. Karen developed a love of horses as a youngster, even though there wasn't a trace of equine involvement in the family. She was 14 when her parents yielded to her persistence and bought their daughter her first horse, a horse she literally kept in the backyard and rode bareback. She had a distinguished career with the New South Wales Mounted Police, retiring in 2016 as Sergeant Owen, the first female to ever attain that rank in the history of the mounted unit. Today, Karen trains her small team on a 100-acre property near Wingham on the mid-north coast, and she has a unique way of training which has already proven most effective. She recently won her first race at Royal Randwick and last November the Taree Gull Cup with Sound and Vision. Her number one jockey is her talented 20-year-old daughter, Maddie, who's currently on loan to Anthony Cummings at Randwick. This lady is a prime candidate for our podcast. We had to exert a little pressure to get her to do it, but here she is between jobs on the farm at Killawarra. Karen, thanks for joining us. Lovely to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, it's my pleasure to join you.
You rarely have more than 10 horses in work at any one time, and that's the way you like it.
Yeah, that's I can't really manage more than 10, so I usually have between 6 and 10 thoroughbreds in work. Yeah, that's besides I have a few warm bloods in work as well.
Mm. Well, to date, you're not an attendee of the yearling sale ring. Most of your horses have been bred by established clients, but you do get the odd one turning up occasionally from an outside owner.
Yes, that's correct. So most of them have been homebred horses. We breed a couple ourselves and have had just the odd one come to us as a tried horse, which we've taken on as well. But we haven't really gone out to purchase yearlings to try and find owners for, because as I said, I've got enough to keep me busy.
Mm. Well, you haven't got enough time in your life currently to pursue your favourite equestrian activity of eventing, but you're still participating in a little local dressage competition with those warm bloods you've already mentioned. How much time and work do you have to put into the warm bloods?
It still takes quite a bit, so I still ride them every day. But you don't have to do quite as much work as, you know, the eventers. Mm. When I'm eventing, you've also got to be travelling a lot more with the eventers, and the competitions run for, you know, two, three and four days at a time. So you've got to be away a lot more, which doesn't lend itself at all to training the racehorses. Whereas with the dressage horses, which, I mean, I still enjoy, love the challenge of educating a horse up to a high level. I can still compete, be competitive, and can be away, you know, for one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Your whole charter is to keep your horses as close to nature as possible. And it's not uncommon to see you taking the race horses on trail rides or occasionally using them to help you round up the herd of Angus cattle you've got on the property there.
Yes, well, my husband and I, we've always wanted to have the horses trained in paddocks and not have them in a stable 24/7. So they live at the farm, and I do truck them into the track to do the regular work, slow work and fast work, but I can only take in a few at a time. So, but also for the racehorses, it's really good for them to work a few days at home. So whether it's doing some basic dressage training on the flat or a little bit of jumping over some small jumps, some hill work. We've got a nice hill on the property that I can do a little bit of half pace on. Got a good trail, which I can take them out on a trail ride. And, yeah, and, of course, we've got cattle here as well. So, you know, one of their jobs would be, you know, on occasions to bring the cattle in. So, you know, the horses, they sort of try to have them as all-round horses. It helps with their basic education and just their mind, just keeps them a little bit, you know, just a broad education that tends to make them more tractable at the track and also in races. And also, but when they're finished racing, you know, and sort of learn, you know, what their talents are and what sort of discipline they may be able to go into when they're finished racing, if possible.
Your husband, Adrian, is a highly respected vet who learned his craft under legends like Percy Sykes at the famous Randwick Equine Centre, which is now based at Horsley Park. Now, as you got your training operation up and running, Adrian developed a veterinary practice on the mid-north coast, and like you, he had to start from scratch, but he quickly built up a clientele.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, because he originally worked at Randwick, and then we lived out at Hawkesbury for a while, and he was working for himself up there when he was training racehorses. But then we made the move. We needed more land to have our horses on and to breed a few. So we moved up here, and Adrian has sort of built up, a client base here, because there wasn't any sort of specialist, just horse vets in the area. So that's worked out well.
He's on the road a lot, you tell me. How far does he travel?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's quite a large area, sort of the Manning Valley, basically, but around from Taree as far north as Port Macquarie and maybe as far south as Bulladela out to Gloucester. Yeah, so it's a fair area. It does a lot of kilometres, that's for sure.
Well, obviously, he still finds time to keep an eye on your gallopers and your performance horses. I hope you get mates rates.
Yeah, that's right. He tells me I'm his worst client, though, because I'm always getting him to do something. And he helps me with the racehorses every morning as well before he goes off on any jobs that he's got to get to.
Well, your girl Maddie, just like Mum, was a wizard in the saddle from a very early age. What sparked her desire to be a jockey?
Well, I guess she had the advantage that she had parents involved in horses, so she was able to start a lot younger than what I did. And she went to pony club and just really enjoyed the. She's a very competitive person. Like, she's a good sports person all round. So she's very competitive and you know, likes to win. And so much to we didn't encourage her to be a jockey. She just had it in her head. She wanted to be a jockey, so she worked really hard. She she did ride track work for me as soon as she could, as soon as she turned 15, when she was allowed to get a track license, and rode all through high school. And she rode, she'd get herself up very early at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then when she got a license, she'd drive into the track. She'd ride work at Taree.
Yeah.
For another trainer, for Wayne Wilkes, and then for me before she'd go to school, and and then in the school holidays, actually, she went down and rode work during the Christmas holidays for Anthony Cummings back then.
Mm.
So, yeah, I couldn't turn her off it. I was
no impossible task. How do you and Adrian feel about her being out there on the track, being pushed around by some ferociously competitive jockeys? Do you handle it okay on race day?
Oh, well, of course we worry about the danger. That's the big thing. I think she can hold her own against the other jockeys, but, there's always, the reason why we weren't so keen about it being a jockey is because of the danger, but I guess I can't really blame her. I always wanted to be a jockey, but I got too tall, so that's hence why I joined the police instead, because back then in the day you had to be tall to get into the police. So I thought, I can ride horses for a job. That's what I wanted to do. Whether it was I was too tall to be a jockey, but I was tall enough to get into the police force to ride the police horses.
You grew up in the Sydney suburb of West Ryde, and you came from a non-equine background. But somehow you became besotted with horses.
Yes, I don't know what started it, but I guess my grandmother had a horse when she was a child, but my parents had nothing to do with horses, and I was just always besotted. One of those girls, that have pictures of horses on their bedroom walls, and I had when we'd go on holidays, my parents would take me on one of those trail rides, and I was just crazy about it, and I just nagged, and my dad said, when I was 11, I think, he said, well, when you turn 14, you can get a horse. I guess they were thinking I'd grow out of it by then, but at least them not knowing anything about horses, they did take me to get riding lessons from when I was 11, so I had weekly riding lessons, so that at least I had a head start before they took the plunge and got a horse.
Well, Mum and Dad are no longer with us, Bruce and Joan, but you must look back with great affection and great warmth on their willingness to set you on the road to a life that you've enjoyed.
Yeah, for sure, because, it's not cheap to have a horse, and they were quite didn't have a lot of money. So they, struggled to afford to have the horse, but, they knew that it was something that I really, really wanted. So they did their most to try and let me fulfill my dream.
Mm. Well, you've certainly done that in more ways than one. You joined the police force in the early 1980s, hell-bent on getting a start with the Mounties. But first you had to do general duties for 12 months as a probationary constable. You were based at the Darlinghurst Police Station, so a lot of your work was at King's Cross, when the place was a hell of a lot livelier than it is today. Must have worried Mum and Dad to death.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. That was just something that I wanted to do. I never had thought about being a police officer. I only joined to ride horses. But actually, when I did work in general duties, I actually quite enjoyed it. It was quite exciting, I guess, when you're young, and, all the nightlife at King's Cross, it was very exciting, but at some times a little bit frightening, but, challenging but rewarding at the same time.
Yep, toughened you up for the years ahead. Finally, to that beautiful Mounted Police headquarters in Baptist Street at Redfern. I've been there once and I was absolutely gobsmacked. There wasn't a hair out of place. The stables, the horses, the saddles, the tack, everything is immaculate And I imagine it's like that around the clock.
Yes, well, it's, you know, it's part of the police force that's it's very good PR for the police. We're in the public eye a lot. Aside from doing police work, we do a lot of ceremonial work. We're involved at the Easter show. And, you know, it's very traditional and historical. It's the oldest continuing mounted police force in the world. So it's sort of, it's a real tradition to have, you know, everything, the saddles polished and all the gear and the horses presented beautifully. Yeah.
Beautiful sight. When you started, you were one of three girls in the unit. It's very different today.
Yeah, that's right. Now I guess I think there's a majority of women. I'm not sure exactly how many, what the ratio is, but I would, as a guess, I'd say it'd be 80% women. But yes, before I joined, it was only, I think it was only the year before I joined that it was all men only. It was no women. It was one of the last sections of the police force to accept women. I guess they were, at that time, it was regarded that the women weren't strong enough to ride the thoroughbreds, the strong thoroughbreds that we had back then. Mm-hmm. Most of the horses were donated, retired racehorses.
You had a few nerve-wracking moments. You felt intimidated many times when caught in the middle of an unruly mob. But there was one occasion when you felt extremely vulnerable. You were called up for duty when those horrible race riots exploded at Cronulla. You tell me you were dodging flying bottles at one stage.
Yes, well, we had four horses working rostered down to patrol in the area. This is not knowing that riot was going to erupt, but there had been a little bit of trouble in the days before, which is why we had horses in the area. But yes, it did erupt, and it was just quite a disturbing scene just to see, you know, so much trouble and public unrest, basically. It was just disappointing to see. Mm-hmm. And but the horses we were on did a great job, and you know, I felt safe on the horse, but it was, not a very good situation that occurred there.
No.
There was a lot of injuries, a lot of people, like the public got injured. And as you said, there was bottles flying everywhere when we were using the horses to try and get ambulances through the crowd. You know, people were throwing full bottles of grog, you know, at the police and at the horses as well. So, yeah, that wasn't very nice.
Every time you see the mounted police in news bulletins helping to quell those boisterous crowds, you can't help but marvel at the composure and the manoeuvrability of those horses. Many must have been tried over the years who simply can't hack it. It must take a very special horse to do the job.
It sure does. And they take a lot of training as well. We take horses on trial, and probably I would say out of horses that we look at to take as a police horse, we probably only 1 in 10 make the grade. They do have to put up with a lot. They've got to be reasonably good temperament, mm-hmm. and not get excited in a big crowd. They've got to put up with traffic and a lot of noise. But they do improve, you know, with time and training. And when we train them, we use, you know, we put any new horse, we train it with an old horse. So they do learn off the older horses to stay relaxed. And we use their herd instinct a lot. So, you know, in a crowd situation, we always have a group of horses. If we were going to, you know, a protest or any sort of public order, rest, we definitely have, you know, depending on the size of what's expected, you know, the larger group of horses, the better. And you, we never have a horse working on their own.
No.
They're always at least two, but in a crowd situation, or you'd have a minimum of four. Mm. But you know, depending on the size of the crowd, they learn the horses. If you know, in a big protest, if we've got say 10 horses there, you put your strongest horses on the flanks, and then the other horses sort of in the middle, and then they gain confidence off the other horses.
Yeah, incredible. You got a special thrill on those occasions when you looked at your roster to find that you'd been assigned to duties at Randwick Races. You couldn't get there quickly enough.
Yeah, that's right. I've always had an interest in the racing, and the roster is done, and we have various jobs all over the place. But if there was a job at the races, I'd sort of put my hand up and, you know, say to the boss, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to that job. So a good chance to, to see, watch a few of the races while we're working. That was a great job.
Mm. I can recall when I first started calling the races from our vantage point at Randwick, 200 feet above the ground. I can remember seeing two members of the Mounted Police at every race meeting being stationed right behind the winning post, and they'd be there all day long. And those horses barely stirred when a full field of horses thundered past them.
Yeah, like we don't do that anymore. Back in the day, we'd have every race meeting that have police horses there. It was a real tradition. And, you know, when you sometimes watch, you know, on the racing channels that have very old footage of races at Randwick, from 50 years ago even, where you can see and I spot them and I can watching the race and then there's the Mounted Police standing at the finishing post. And then they used to be also standing at the 200 as well, I think.
Mm. Yeah, they became a part of the scene, especially on those big race days.
Yeah.
This was obviously when your fascination with racing started to surface. Were you just swept away with the buzz of the track and the atmosphere?
Oh, yes. And then even growing up back then in the 70s, you know, at school, you know, there'd always be a sweep on for the Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
And even though my family had nothing to do with racing, they were always interested in the Melbourne Cup and the sweeps. And then as you say, when I was in the Mounted Police, I mean, I was quite young. I was only 20 when I joined the Mounted Police. You know, going to the races, that just sort of increased my interest. And the thoroughbreds and riding the thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
At the Mounted Police, you know, I really enjoyed riding them. They're quite an intelligent animal. Even though some of them were a bit too flighty to make a good police horse, but the ones that do, they're quite brave as well.
Mm. So. Perhaps the most celebrated former racehorse to join the team was Arwon, winner of the 1978 Melbourne Cup. He often got a mention in the newspapers.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so we were privileged to have him at the Mounted Police. He was quite a good Mounted Police. He was there for quite a few years. And he did have some soundness issues, so he didn't stay there for too long. I'm trying to remember now, but he was there. I joined the Mounted Police in 1983, so he was then.
Yeah.
And he was still there probably for another couple of years after that.
Yeah. He finished up in Victoria and he was a regular for a number of years at the Melbourne Cup Eve Street Parade in Melbourne. He loved every minute of it. Do you know that old horse lived to 33 years of age, Karen?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm. Well, he got well looked after.
Oh, he did. Favoloso, who'd been a good racehorse on Sydney tracks for John Paletti, was another one to become a top police horse. He was a good type, wasn't he? Lovely black horse.
Yeah, he was a lovely black horse. In fact, he was probably the blackest horse we've had traditionally. All the horses are only bay or brown, and they weren't originally allowed to have black, but the boss loved him so much, Don Roland at the time, he just loved his type and thought, oh well, a black horse is still technically a brown horse, so so he got in, but he was a lovely horse, a beautiful moving horse. He was particularly good. His forte was the musical ride at the Royal Easter Show. He just looked magnificent going around and leading the ride. He was the horse, number one horse in the musical ride.
And you had a Doncaster winner in the place too, the 2005 Doncaster winner, Pateza, who was trained by the late Guy Walter. He joined the squad post-racing and he handled his new duties well.
Yeah, that's right. He was a very good horse. Again, he was a good musical ride horse, but he was also good on the street, good patrol horse. And in his latter years, he was a good lesson horse. That when we have new recruits coming in, that there's a lot of training on him. And, yeah, he recently retired. He retired from the Mounted Police a few years ago. One of the girls that used to ride him took him to her parents' property at Milton, and he was still just doing a little bit of pleasure riding on the farm, and a few actual little riding lessons with the officer's mum, who used to teach a few people how to ride at home.
Good to hear.
He was great.
Well, a dashing young veterinarian called Adrian Owen was a regular at the police stables in those early days, and during one of these visits, he took a shine to the equally dashing young constable, who was obviously one of the unit's best performers. Whatever his strategy, Karen, obviously worked.
Yes, well, yeah, I was the senior riding instructor and the horse master at the Mounted Police, so I was sort of in charge of organising any veterinary treatments required by the horses. So I had a fair bit to do with Adrian because we used Randwick Equine Centre, and Adrian was the one that was the regular to come out to the stables. So, that's how we met.
In the late 1990s, Adrian decided to activate an old ambition to hobby train a few gallopers. He rented boxes and yards at Rose Hill and employed a very good work rider, his wife.
Yes, well, as I said, I'd always been interested in riding, but I had never ridden track work, but I had been eventing, so I felt, I had a good basic capability to be able to take up track riding. So, so we started training a few out at Rose Hill. So that's where I learnt to ride track work. It's funny, initially with Wayne Wilkes, who also trains at Taree now, so he was at Rose Hill then as well. So he was good enough to show me the ropes, and I rode around with him to sort of get to know, the paces and the pace work and the gallops and things like that.
Great experience for you.
Yeah.
Has served you well in later years. Well, your efforts were rewarded with several provincial winners. City horses, of course, were hard to come by. And it's interesting that right through this time, you continued with your eventing horses. And you were going well enough to make the Australian squad to New Zealand under Wayne Roycroft. Your first baby, Damien, was 3 months old at the time, so Adrian had to go with you too to babysit while you were competing. The whole exercise had an unhappy ending, which still haunts you from time to time.
Yes, well, we'd been been lucky enough to have a very good eventing horse, which was a thoroughbred, by the way, and competing well and got onto the Australian team, which was amazing. I never thought I'd be good enough to get onto an Australian team. But, so went to New Zealand and was competing over there. But I made one of those errors that everybody's done at some point in their career, is I missed a jump on the cross-country course and therefore got eliminated. So that was unfortunate. But, it was quite disappointing at the time. I was really annoyed with myself. You know, I had my son there. And by the way, it was the first time ever that a nursing mother has been on an eventing Australian team, Wayne Croft told me. But yeah, Damien was sick while he was over there. That's my son. And I guess I had very, very little sleep, or probably no sleep the night before. So I guess just being tired and not thinking straight, just easy enough just to miss a fence. So that was disappointing. But those things happen.
Part of the journey.
Yeah, part of the journey. So then I was still, you know, aiming for the Olympic team then, and I came back and went to another event to try and keep myself on the squad, which I had to do because you had to have performances up. And
was that the one at Gundawindi?
Yeah. So that was a 3-star event then, which was a qualifier for the Olympics. And so I won that one. So that just kept me on the shortlist for the Olympic Games. So that was good.
Karen, I'll get you to stand by for a moment while we clear a commitment on the podcast. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most thrilling experiences of your life with the horses. Back with Karen Owen after this. The championships will wind up on Saturday, April 20, with the running of the Schweppes All-Age Stakes and the Mowat and Shondon Champagne Stakes, two races inaugurated in the 1860s. The name All-Age Stakes has never been more appropriate than it was in 1885 when a 2-year-old filly called Astroa beat the older horses. The race was run over a mile for more than a century, 1,600 metres from 73 to 2003, and 1,400 metres since 2004. The All-Age Stakes has been a magnet for good horses of every generation since its inception. Carbine won it twice, and you'll find Wakeful's name there in 1902. The great Ajax won it 3 times on the trot during his 18-win sequence in the late 30s and early 40s. Burnborough won the All-Age. So did Tullock and Tobin Bronze. In more recent history, you'll find Emancipation, Rough Habit won it twice, and so did the great Sunline in Broken Years. Special mention of the evergreen Cascadian, who was a rising 8-year-old when he scored in 2022, and 2 years on, he recently won the Australian Cup. Co-feature on April 20 will be the time-honoured Champagne Stakes, third leg of the 2-year-old Triple Crown, with 4 Group 3s rounding off the program. The Tab Hallmark, the JRA Plate, the Mostyn Copper James Carr, and the Toyota Forklifts Frank Packer Plate. What a way to wind up the championships for 2024. My special guest is trainer Karen Owen, whose horse experience goes back to age 14. In 2012, you were honoured and delighted to be part of a New South Wales police contingent to ride before the Queen during Her Majesty's Diamond Jubilee celebrations. Now, I'm going to put up with the podcast a photo of you being presented to Her Majesty after your musical ride. She had a yarn with you. Do you recall the conversation?
Yes. After we'd had the dress rehearsal before doing the musical ride for her Diamond Jubilee, we had afternoon tea at Windsor Castle with a number of other participants. And the Queen came up and spoke to myself and also the boss of the Mounted Police. And she was very complimentary. She'd watched the dress rehearsal and she said, "Oh, congratulations, you know, your riders ride our horses much better than our cavalry."
And I was did she shocked. Gave the cavalry a bagging?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a bit different because the cavalry guys, they take people, non-riders, you see, and they go in and train them, whereas I guess the Mounted Police, we take in people who have riding experience and they get a fair bit of training before they actually do the musical ride. So they are quite competent and they're used to riding different horses. So Our riders got on quite well and did ride the cavalry horses quite well. I mean, they were lovely horses, though. They were well trained. I think she was just being very nice. She's just a lovely lady. But Prince Philip was there as well, and we did have a little issue with the dress rehearsal. We had bandages on the horses' legs, white bandages to
tell me some came adrift.
Yeah, some came adrift. They, you know, they were put on in a bit of a rush. I guess we had 16 horses with four legs each to get them all bandaged before the dress rehearsal. And anyway, during the dress rehearsal, some of them came off. There was flying everywhere, and luckily none of the horses tripped over, but it was a little bit embarrassing, to say the least, that they'd come undone because they weren't actually put on properly. But, so Prince Philip, he quipped after the Queen said how well we rode her horses. He said, "Well, you ride the horses well. It's a pity you don't know how to put bandages on properly."
Oh, did he? The Duke of Edinburgh. A mild critique.
Yeah. He's, I guess he's renowned for having a bit of a dry sense of humour, but yeah, it was said in good, in, you know, tongue in cheek, yeah, in good jest.
Well, you were later shown around the grounds of Windsor Castle, where you witnessed an unforgettable sight. You saw the Queen, who was then 86 years old, on horseback.
Yes, so she rides her ponies quite, yeah, she had been riding them quite regularly, which we were aware of, and she'd also presented us all with beautiful photos of her not riding but just standing with her ponies. She just loved those ponies. We also saw her every day at the Windsor Horse Show, just watching all the horse events, and also Prince Philip driving his carriage around the grounds. In fact, they actually took us, the mounted police, not Prince Philip himself, but one of his carriage drivers took us for a carriage ride around the beautiful grounds.
What wonderful memories.
Yeah, it was just fantastic, yeah.
2 years after the royal experience, you received another great thrill and a great honour. You were one of nine police officers to be awarded the Australian Police Medal. That's pretty humbling stuff.
Yes, it is. It was really unexpected. I had no idea, but the boss at the time, I'm assuming, they don't tell you who nominates you, but for the award, put that in. I guess, you know, I'd been in the police force, back then for over 30 years. And most of it in the mounted police, but just the award for distinguished service, and it was very humbling. Yeah, it was
well deserved. Well deserved. Yeah. When you retired from the force, you were Sergeant Owen, the first female to ever attain that ranking.
In the mounted police, that is. Yes. Yes.
Another great honour.
Yes, it was.
I've already mentioned Damien, your firstborn. He could ride from an early age, and at one stage he was riding work at Randwick for Anthony Cummings while doing a science and teaching degree at university. You tell me he's now a full-time teacher, but he still enjoys jumping on a horse whenever possible.
Yes, so he's, you know, a good worker, as you say. He paid his way through uni and paid his rent by riding work before he'd go to uni. But yes, he's always enjoyed riding and competing. You know, he went through Pony Club as well with Maddie, and he, during the holidays, he comes back home and quite often gives me a hand. I'm always happy to get an extra rider, which is great.
Yeah. Younger son, Callum, was also born to ride, of course, but nowadays, you tell me, he's developed alternative interests.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, he enjoyed it. He went to Pony Club as well. But, he wasn't that keen on it. So, but still, again, he's got the skills, and it did help him out when, you know, he started uni at Newcastle. So it gave him an opportunity to get a job. He worked at racing stables there, Mark Minervini's stables, as a stable hand.
Good.
So you know, he just got, you know, good horsemanship skills, even though he's not the most keen rider. But yeah, he just did stable hands there to help pay his way through university at Newcastle.
Good,
but
good to hear.
He doesn't rise now. Yeah.
And he's in a well-run stable too, the Minervini stable. And now to that all-important first win as a trainer in your own right, it was a gelding called Locomotive Breath at Bowraville. And the jockey was the evergreen Peter Graham. Now, it's a curious little track, Bowraville, but that must have been as good as winning at Randwick.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was super. And he won really well. It was a bit of a surprise. And, yeah, it was great. He was a good little horse that we had bred ourselves as well.
Mm.
And, yeah, he's since retired to eventing. And, I actually evented him while towards the end of his racing career. He was competing, actually. Competed him at Coffs Harbour event and even when he was still racing, because he was sort of coming to the end of the career, he'd sort of lost form. But he went on and I sold him to a young girl at Currajong who we knew when we lived down there, and she went on and got on the state pony club eventing team with him. So
he's landed on his feet.
He's a very talented horse, you know, a good, and got a great home and great competition home.
Beautiful. We'll get to your stable star shortly, but firstly, Sound and Vision, a gelding you race with your good friend Ed Quilty, who was a long time groom with the Mounted Police. You've won 6 races with Sound and Vision, including the Taree Gull Cup last November with Maddie on board. That's about as close to a fairy tale result as you'll get.
That's for sure. That was, quite a surprise. I mean, it was very thrilling. Just very happy for Maddie and for Ed. And, it was just a great day. It was a bit of a surprise. It's such a big price and just went his way. So it was excellent.
Well, I've got to give Maddie's ride a good rap here. It was a pearler. She was last in an 8-horse field going down the back. Patience personified. She saved lengths on the corner by hugging the fence, and then she switched around 1 horse in the straight. He just scrambled in, and he probably couldn't have won without such a perfect ride.
Yeah, that's right. It was a perfect ride. You know, that's why I thought, well, sometimes luck goes your way and, you know, you get the good ride. And, yeah, it was just amazing that it happened in that race. It was incredible. Mm.
You've won a total of 11 races with half brothers, Seething Chuck and Seething Seb, for your great friends, the Leopold family. 11 wins between the 2 horses and their half brothers by coincidence.
Yeah, I'm very thrilled to get the win for the Leopolds because they were my very first outside clients, and they've supported me all the way through. They homebred all their horses that we've got, and you know, they're not quick. They don't, you know, they like to give them a good go, like even if they're not showing anything as a real youngster. You know, Seething Seb was a 20 start maiden before all of a sudden then he started winning.
Took him a while.
And then he won 3 in a row and he's, you know, won 6 races. So, you know, they really love their horses and, you know, they've still, and we've got, actually we've got 4 of their retired horses here just retired on the farm. But the other ones we've found homes for. So,
you're amazing.
Keen to, they don't mind paying for their adjustment and their training to find other homes for them as well. So they're great clients.
And true horse lovers.
Yeah, they are.
Now, Karen, to that tough and genuine mare, FaZe Angels, who gave you your first city win at Warwick Farm and then your first Randwick win in a recent Tab Highway. Isn't she a genuine old girl?
Yeah, she's lovely, And, well, she's not that old. She's only 4. So, thrilled. And I think, you know, we've still got a fair bit more improvement in her yet. So, yeah, very thrilled to have her, which was courtesy through a really dear friend of mine from when I was in the Mounted Police. Mm.
She has a few quirks, you tell me, and she's well suited to the country lifestyle. In fact, you use her to round up the cattle from time to time. I've seen a photo.
Yes, yes. I mean, she's quite a good horse to ride, so there's no troubles there at all. And basically, she's not too bad to handle. She's pretty good to handle, but she is quite a cranky mare towards people she doesn't know, and if she's in a stable or in the tie-ups, she gets...
Oh, don't walk too close.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Or she'll take a chunk.
Yeah. when I'm at Randwick and there's so many people walking around and walking past the horses, whether it's the vet or the farrier walking past, she'll lunge at them. So I've got to try and just warn people just to stay clear of her. But so the paddock life really suits her. She's very good in the paddock. And, I don't think she'd cope very well being stabled 24/7.
No. She's in the right place. There's no doubt about that. She's owned by a remarkable man, 97-year-old Ed Meadows, and his three daughters, Carmel, Chris and Glenda. And when the girls were very young, they were referred to as angels by Ed's late wife, Faye. So when the time came for Ed to name his homebred filly, Faye's Angels immediately came to mind. The day she won at Randwick recently, you tell me Ed was in hospital at Lake Cajelico with a broken leg. How's he going?
He's going quite well now, actually, really good. So I speak to, obviously, his granddaughter, Jane, my friend, and his daughter, Carmel, regularly. Mm. And they'd recently, after that win, they were up there and had a family get together for his birthday. Mm. And he was quite well, actually. Yeah, very well.
If you happen to be listening to the podcast, congratulations. That mare's been a real tonic right through that ordeal of getting over a broken leg. You worked with Ed's granddaughter, Jane Shaw, as you mentioned, at the Mounties a few years ago. And it was Jane who actually recommended you as a likely trainer for Faye's Angels.
Yeah, that's right, because Jane herself follows racing, and so she's always, followed my horses and the training, and obviously, we're good friends, and so she sort of talked to her pop into sending the horse over this way. He's raced horses before right out west for quite a number of years, a few decades actually. Mm-hmm. Had some success with Picnic and Tops out that way. But, Jane sort of prompted him to send it over this way and, in the hope that, she'd be might be competitive and more tab races down this way. And also for then Jane to be involved a little bit as well, because Jane, lives near Coffs Harbour, so she comes down and straps for me. And, so it gives her sort of an interest and an input into the training as well.
Well, with 10 racehorses in work, 3 or 4 warm bloods to be schooled, and 1,000,001 chores around the property to be attended to, you are one busy lady. But you wouldn't swap it for quids, would you?
No, not at all. Yeah, it's great. Helps to keep me fit and I love it, and my husband loves it, so it's good, and we do it together, so it's great.
And Karen, to simplify it, you're pretty good at the caper too.
Thank you.
Yours is a wonderful story.
Definitely a team effort with my husband and and my staff. I've got a couple of part-time staff girls that, that help out with feeding and looking after the, when I go away, to make sure there's someone here to do the afternoon feeds if we're not back in time from the races. So that's really good.
Can't do it by yourself, that's for sure. And I'm I doubt there'd be a racing stable in Australia that wouldn't agree with that. Yours is a wonderful story, Karen, and thank you for sharing it with us on a podcast produced by Supernova Sound. Great to catch up.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you, John.
A message for trainers of thoroughbred, standardbred and performance horses. Pride's Easy Feed would like you to know a little more about a new product called Energy Pack, a top-up feed designed to replace cracked or flaked corn in a horse's diet. Energy Pack comes in small cubes of extruded corn and full-fat soybean and is 6 times more digestible than raw corn. Energy Pack isn't a complete feed. You simply use it to top up your horse's normal ration. Energy Pack will help you to stay ahead in the war against acidosis. Energy Pack comes in 20-kilo bags and is a palatable concentrated source of energy. Speaking of acidosis, Pride's also recommends Easy Light, a great tasting electrolyte. Its glucose and fruit flavouring is just the ticket for those fussy eaters. For best results, feed Easy Light as part of your horse's balanced ration. Replace those lost salts and keep your horses on their water through the long hot summer. Pride's Easy Light and Pride's Energy Pack, a winning double from Pride's Easy Feed. Masters in the field of equine nutrition.